You're listening to KNKX, and we recently spent an afternoon at the Ballard Locks in Seattle to celebrate the lock centennial this year. So that's the unofficial name of this place, the Ballard Locks, officially on maps and to the U.S. government. It's the Hiram M. Chittenden Locks. The name appears on signs throughout the property and signs in Ballard pointing the way. So who was Hiram Chittenden? To answer that question, 88.5's Ed Ronco turns to John Caldwick, a historian who wrote a lengthy summary of Chittenden's life for the website HistoryLink.
Well, Hiram Chittenden was a farm boy from New York, born in 1858, and he realized early on that farm life was not for him, so he worked very hard in school. When he graduated from high school, he was given a tuition scholarship to Cornell and an appointment at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point.
What did he look like?
He was tall. He was a very striking-looking man. He had a closely trimmed beard most of his years. Very upright-looking fellow. There's pictures of him available, and you can see it. He's not a big smiler.
Does that speak to his personality?
Well, in his photographs, I don't think I've ever seen a photograph of him smiling, and there aren't a great number of photographs of him. But it seems that in his personal life, with his family and his children and his friends, and he had a lot of friends, he was funny, he was humorous, he never risque. I thought it was interesting when he was at West Point, he wrote letters where he complained about his fellow cadets' profanity. So, I mean, he definitely had a priggish side to him.
If you're showing up for your first day of work with Hiram Chittenden as your boss,
probably going to be a little intimidated, I imagine. Tall, rather overbearing, yeah. Looking down, kind of eagle-eyed. He probably was not the easiest guy in the world to work for or work with. But he had lots of friends, he had a loving family, and even people who disagreed with him on things had a lot of respect for him.
After West Point, Chittenden ended up in the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, working his way west from project to project. He worked on the Osage River in Missouri. He spent a lot of time at Yellowstone National Park, and by the time Chittenden arrived as district engineer in Seattle in 1906, the conversation about building the Ballard Locks was well underway.
The month Chittenden arrived, or within a month of his arrival, a Seattle developer, a guy named James Moore, who built the Moore Theater, among any other things, offered a plan to the city and the county, actually, saying that for $500,000 he would build the canal, finish the canal, and that after, in return for some government participation, after 3 years it would be turned over to the federal government. Chittenden's first assignment here was to kind of critique Moore's plans for Chittenden's superiors in the Corps, and he didn't like it.
For starters, Moore proposed building the locks out of wood. Chittenden did not feel that would last very long, and the location also was an issue. Originally, the plan was to put the locks at the head of Salmon Bay, over where the Ballard Bridge is now.
If the lock went in that end, they could keep the level of Salmon Bay the way it had always been. If you put the lock where Chittenden wanted it, it would flood Salmon Bay by 7 or 8 feet, and all the mill owners would have to elevate their factories at great expense.
So you've got all these businesses located along the shore of Salmon Bay that would essentially be underwater with the presence of a new lock where the locks are now.
They would be, but in fact, as early as I think it was 1890-something, when one of the other canal plans was underway, the mill owners were actually paid money then for the losses that they would incur. The problem was, by the time people got serious about this later in the 20th century, the value of their properties and their mills had gone way beyond what they had been compensated for, so it was still a very open issue.
Well, and so we're sitting on a concrete bench now in the park near the Chittenden Locks, which is in the location that Chittenden wanted. How did he win?
Well, it was a long, drawn-out process. He put out his proposal, which was just a proposal. Here's my idea. In his last annual report that he wrote about the locks was 1907. He finished it in December 07. And he very strongly said that the locks should go at the foot of the bay. But he also said, you know, as of now, this is all local financing. So they should really decide. It's their money. they should decide where they want to have it.
In the end, it came down to Congress, which allocated about $2.3 million for the project. That's about $54 million in today's money, and specified that the locks should be built at the foot of Salmon Bay.
So that determined the issue.
An act of Congress.
Act of Congress determined where it would be.
How did Chittenden think about the human implications of what he was doing with the locks?
Well, you know, Chittenden, he really has to be judged in the lights of his own time. And it was not a very enlightened time in a lot of ways. He was a very strong believer in social Darwinism, that basically survival of the fittest among human groups as well as in nature at large. Native Americans, he thought they should be treated more fairly than they were being treated. He complained about that at times, but he also basically thought they were a doomed people and that eventually there would not be any more here. But that was the social and intellectual environment back there. You cannot look at them through a 21st century lens. There would be far too many villains and far too few heroes if you did that.
Hiram Chittenden's health had been declining since he arrived in Seattle. Just before he got here, he was in a sanitarium, declared a physical wreck, who was suffering from nervous exhaustion. You know, he was serving, at least in part of his career, through the term of Theodore Roosevelt, and I see some parallels between he and Roosevelt in that Teddy Roosevelt was famously in ill health as a youth, mm-hmm. and kind of grew into adulthood and became more robust than anybody expected him to be.
Right, and actually that worked to Chittenden's detriment because Roosevelt also thought that everybody in the Army should be robust. So in 1907, he ordered that all Army officers other than infantry take a 50-mile horseback ride as part of their annual physical. And Chittenden at that point was in terrible shape, but he insisted on doing it, and he had to really argue to get his doctor's permission to let him do it, and he did it.
Should he have done that?
No, he absolutely should not have. That was really the beginning of the drastic deterioration in his health.
Chittenden retired from the Army Corps and served as the first president of the Seattle Port Commission. But by the time the locks were formally dedicated 100 years ago, Chittenden was too sick to leave home. He died shortly afterward at age 58. When the locks were named for him in 1956, his three children were still alive and able to attend the ceremony.
That was 88.5's Ed Ronco talking to local historian John Kalbick about the life of Hiram Chittenden, for whom the Ballard Locks are officially named. You can find the rest of our stories about the locks at knkx.org.